Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Shift. It's Dez here in Las Vegas. Katie is back in New York. And we recorded today's episode back on Sunday in New York, which was the American Mother's Day. And we have a wonderful guest called Karen Margolis, who I know from the Race Wars podcast with Sherrod Small. And we wanted to do an episode about breakups. So I thought Karen would be a good guest to get a little trio going. She sent me some funny texts. Well, some interesting texts about breakups and a breakup she had recently. But actually, the episode begins with some chats about moms because it was Mother's Day. And then we get into breakups. We sort of all share a little personal stories about breakups. Karen talks a lot about a recent breakup of hers. Then we try to talk about some tips about best breakup practice. All the time trying to have fun. I think it's a good episode. And I'm in Vegas. We got a guest. I'm doing an interview on Friday with a guest, which I talk about. I'll talk about at the end. And so we got some fun eps coming up. I think we're going to get a couple of bonus eps too, because I think I'm just going to chat with some of the comics that are here on the show with me. I'm doing the Comedy Cellar in Vegas. Anyway, we got a great ep coming up. Enjoy it. Stick with it. It's a long one, and I think it's fun and informative and honest. So this is Karen Margolis with me and Katie chatting about breakups. So hello, welcome to The Shift.
Thank you.
Hello, Karen.
Hello.
Karen Margolis.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Hello, Karen.
Hi, Katie.
Karen, I asked Karen, this episode is going to be about breakups.
Yeah.
Because we're a sex and dating podcast, so.
Okay.
We're kind of limited in our topics.
Yeah, but also not.
I mean, I guess like a lot of these types of podcasts, we'll probably eventually broaden our horizons. But for now, we don't need to because we're still very much fresh, drunk with potential topics.
How long have you guys been doing this?
Actually, this is episode 16.
Oh, you guys are brand new, little babies.
I did a little count.
I
put the number on the last ep. I noticed a lot of people put the numbers on the eps.
Yeah.
So like we've done 15 eps, but... only the first four eps went up as one, you know, on the first day.
I see.
And then there was also another week where we did two. So we're not.
Yeah, I think we started putting them up in February, was it?
I guess it was the end of Feb.
Oh, you guys just started.
Yeah,
we went to Ireland in March.
We literally just started. And like, it was Feb, yeah.
Yeah, because we went to Ireland
then
the first week
Ireland.
Of March.
We've been remote half the time. Mm-hmm. My mom died. I mean, there couldn't be more things. There couldn't be more things trying to get in the way of us developing our podcast.
Yeah, you got to bank some episodes.
But you think a dead mother is going to stop me talking about anal?
Hell no.
He's very driven, man. We did phone call eps.
We had an episode due that night. The night that my mom died, we had an episode due.
You made it work?
I just did it. I just talked about my mom dying.
Right.
Yeah. But we did not miss an ep.
No, we didn't.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's some dedication. Because people treat podcasts like very, very optional. You know.
Here's the sad thing. It's our highest rated ep by by quite a few numbers.
Just you alone about your dead mom?
Well, because I guess it's a hot topic, right? It's like a moment in time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
It was very raw and...
So, and I'm also
gotta listen to that one.
I'm also not gonna lie. I knew it would be a popular ep, and I was like, "Fuck it, it's good for the podcast.
It's good for the show.
My mother'd be happy."
You know, it'd be amazing for the show if one of you guys died, and I'm not saying that in like a morbid way.
Yeah. Okay. I hope it's not me. I'm younger. I have more life to live. I think your brother would be happy though. I didn't meet her, but when we were doing his Caroline show, she said to him like, she was like really excited and she wanted to meet the Irish girl in the show. And then she's like really, was always really excited about his
Did
comedy.
Did you not meet her?
I never got to meet her in the end.
Oh, that is the saddest part.
Little did
part
we
of
know
this.
That you'd never get a chance, Katie. Happy Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day.
But not in Ireland. It's Mother's Day in America, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yes, which is actually, funnily enough, a few people have messaged me and been like, oh, I'm thinking of you in Mother's Day. But weirdly enough, I don't actually have a ton of Mother's Day memories because I think, well, definitely one of the last Mother's Days in America was 1990. And funnily enough, I got caught drinking for the first time in my life the night before Mother's Day of 1990.
How old were you?
I was 14.
Oh.
And then ever since that Mother's Day, most of the time I've been in Ireland. And in Ireland, it's in Feb, right? Or
yeah.
Is it early March?
It's happened already because I already sent my Mother's
Day.
Yeah,
it's Feb or
is
March.
It? So I my UK friends, I think, celebrated it like March 31st or something.
Yeah, it's the same as
Ireland's
UK.
Not the UK, but you know that, right?
No.
Okay, well, I'll edit that out.
Okay.
They turn on you fast. Yeah.
All right. Really? All right, so well, first of all, don't turn on me. I'm just an American doing the best I can.
You're okay. Northern Ireland is part of the UK, and the Republic of Ireland is
shit.
Its own country.
Okay. I knew that, but would never have expressed it that way.
It's totally
a lot of people don't know.
Of very famous, massive acts. People have bought tickets to their shows a year and a half in advance. We'll have the audience turn on them because they make a mistake of being like, it's great to be here in the UK.
Yeah.
The crowd will boo them. Yeah, and you'll never get them back.
No. Never?
Yeah,
but you should know that Trump did it as well, didn't he? Trump was like something about Ireland being a part of the UK. He said it recently.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's not wrong because you just said Northern Ireland's
part
of the UK.
No, yeah, but Northern Ireland's a separate country.
I know. But surely Irish people can understand the bamboozlement of there being two Irelands.
Well,
and I'm an American. I don't know.
There's a rich history there.
Yeah, there's a very complicated history.
I'm aware of the complicated history. I'm aware that it exists. I'm not aware of the history itself.
But being an American is an excuse. You're fine. We'll give you that.
It's not my deal. It's so not my deal. I mean, I'm Jewish from Israel, so I really don't know.
From Israel?
Yes.
You're born in Israel?
I was born in Israel. I'm
a
dual citizen.
Oh my God, will you
yes.
do my transplant show?
I will do your transplant show.
You can't be booking shows in the middle of the podcast.
Thank you for asking.
She's complaining to me about
it.
Being driven. We're in the middle of something else.
She complained about being driven?
No,
driven's
I didn't.
The best.
No, I didn't. I said it was great. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, why? Because he exploited his dead mother for podcasts?
No, I thought it was great.
It was what my mother would have wanted.
I think it was. I agree completely.
This is absolutely true.
She raised a monster.
This is, my mother had bad anxiety, you know, but that wasn't a term that existed in the 80s. So we just, you know, thought she was insane. But this is how bad my mother's anxiety was. She was dying. Now, we didn't know she was 24 hours from death.
Oof.
But
were you with her?
Yeah, we were there.
Okay.
But so I was on my way back on the Monday morning. My mom died on the Tuesday. And my brother said to my mother, now, we thought, at this stage, we thought she was okay. You know, like not okay. There was a lot wrong, but we didn't think she was dying.
Okay,
we just thought she was recuperating in bed. And but I was coming back just in case because there was a few signs that things might be touch and go.
Good.
So my brother goes, oh, Ma, Dez is actually going to come back for a couple of days. And she goes, he is? But he has shows in Galway this weekend. She's still worried about that.
That's what your mama does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's very supportive.
I called my mom today. I let her yell at me for 40 minutes.
Oh, really?
She started yelling right away. Yeah. I was like, hi, happy Mother's Day, Yuma. And she goes, oh, what are you doing? Freaks out at me right away. Here's the thing. Because she has a way, we don't talk as often as we should probably. I should be calling her like a few times a week or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just don't. I will. You know, Mother's Day is like New Year's or whatever. I'm like, I'll call my mom. But she has this way of zeroing in on whatever is actually super relevant to my life right now. I don't know how she could know it, but also very triggering. Like the most triggering thing, like, you know, I'm at like this point right now, career-wise and also in my personal life where it's like a very, it's a big push right now forward, right? Mostly career, like whatever, personal.
But in a positive way.
In a positive way, yes. But, you know, there's always some anxiety attached to that, right? Like you're taking a risk, you're putting yourself out there, like you're doing all this stuff. And she immediately, she goes, I want to know, why don't you believe in yourself more?
Get out of here.
First thing
she said
that?
But you hadn't said anything.
Nothing. How did you know that was going to bother me the most? How did you know it was going to trigger me? But here's how I know that I've like grown as a person. You know, when you go to your parents' house and it's the same and you're like, oh, I'm so different. Like I've changed. It's really the first time she started freaking out at me that I wasn't sure. You know, I was just like, you know, let's hear her out. Like, let's talk about this. I don't know. Like, what do you have to say?
And what did she say?
She said that she was like, you know, she was like, it's a waste for you to have, like, you know, misplaced anxieties. It was a waste of your energy and it's a waste of your time. There's no reason for it whatsoever. Like, the person who needs to know who you are is you and nobody else needs to, right? She was like, the way that people blow up is, well, that's not the right word because it was really, but, you know, the way that people, like, become super successful is that they believe in themselves so hardcore. They have an unshakable faith in themselves and it means that they can fail over and over and over again.
But that's not 100% true. That's one path to success.
Well, what's the other path to success?
People that are driven by the fact that they think they're not good enough, so they have to keep trying to prove to themselves.
I don't think those are opposite things, right? Like,
but what I'm saying is she's saying people that have this unshakable belief, but that's not 100% true as the path to success, right. Particularly in the creative world.
I agree. But look, it's you can be super... I don't think that those are opposites, right? Like, I don't think that I'm at the pinnacle of skill.
But let me ask, what made her start like this?
I don't know.
It must have been a concern that she had.
She was on your Instagram.
It must. No, she's not on Instagram. That's the crazy thing. It's like, she's not on social. She's, you know, mad foreign. She doesn't, like, she's not, and she's an older foreign generation. So she's
But it's not rational anyway. It's not like these drives, the lack of belief in ourselves or various different things that are driving us are like rational, that you can just decide, okay,
for sure,
right, I believe in myself.
Right.
Mm. Well, that'll work for an hour.
It's true.
But it requires a lot of hard work on yourself to suddenly make that the norm.
But that's what she was saying. She was like, some of this is within your control. So if you have anxiety that becomes overwhelming, it's actually not out of your control. Your life is within your control exclusively. And yeah, that was a really valid point. And kind of nice to hear, you know, I think part of her yelling, like right off the bat yelling, was because she was anticipating pushback, right? Like, she thought I was going to be like, oh, this is too triggering. And yeah, I didn't feel like that at all. I like appreciated it. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think my stepmother would give me similar advice, is kind of like,
yeah, she loves you.
Well, I know what you're saying about the anxiety, but also, what's the point in worrying? Let's say you fuck up on a show or whatever, you have to learn from it, but then move past. There's a lot of comedians that are way too hard on themselves.
Also, you're going to fuck up.
Yeah.
You're going to bomb. Yeah.
Well, that's also a separate skill, the letting go skill.
Yeah.
Not giving yourself a hard time, learning from it.
Right.
But all the fucking Tony Robbins self-help bullshit.
I love that.
Yeah, but I think all of it is full of wisdom, but it's all, and all sportsmen have all adapted it, this sports people, this concept of always spinning it in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a trick rather than the truth.
Well, I don't see that. I don't think that there's a difference between a trick and the truth in some cases. I think anything can be, you can reframe anything to make it work for you.
No, but
you can
reframe
anything to make it suck.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I think the results are the same often. Sometimes people think the results won't be the same if you fucking admit it, I fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of turning around and being like, yeah, well, you know, we have to look forward to the future. You know, it's just like, yeah, I fucked up and it hurts like a bitch.
Yeah.
It's actually not going to hold you back.
Yeah, right. No, I agree
with you. But this vernacular has changed now, where it's suddenly like, if you actually admit the real pain of it, or the lack of belief that it's brought up in you, that somehow that lack of belief is going to manifest itself.
I see.
No, right. I like that. I think it's important to see, because then you're like, whoa, I don't want that to happen.
But there's
again.
Some nuance here, because you know, when moments of self-doubt arise, it's just as part of the process as having a lot of faith in yourself and being super driven.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't divorce one from the other. And everything's in a range, right? You can't be all the way up here without sometimes swinging back down there. You can't. Yeah. Like, the one exists, it exists on like a continuum, right? So anyway, she had like great points to make, and we ended up having a really nice chat. I'm going to call her back later tonight. It's crazy. I've never had this kind of relationship.
Now, let me
with
ask
mom.
You this before. Sorry, go ahead, Katie.
Well, I was just going to ask, are you an only daughter?
No, I have a younger sister.
Oh, okay.
But I have a younger
Your mom's
sister
a Jewish mom, right?
Yeah.
So I was just going to ask, because I know it's a stereotype, but from all my Jewish friends, it seems to be a true stereotype. Jewish mothers are quite neurotic.
Quite.
So would you consider this a classic Jewish neuroticness or neuroses, or this is more just like your mother is very much into self-help?
I would consider it a bit of both. I mean, it is who she is, and she is such a like self-development person.
Yes.
You know, I don't think she listens to any of the gurus or whatever. I do sometimes. I find them very motivating, but she doesn't. She doesn't know about, she doesn't watch YouTube or whatever. But she is, yeah, it's a little neurosis. And it's a little of that. Like, she always, this used to drive us, me and my sister, batshit insane as kids. Because my mom also speaks with an accent, so, you know, things just get to you. But she would always tell us to do self-examination. Okay, that was her word. And we were like, please stop, please stop saying self-examination. It was like a very specific word that she would say all the time. And she still does. And you know, when you're a teenager and you just like hate everything your parents say, like, stop saying that. But I get it. And she was totally right. And that it totally stuck with me my whole life. I'm like, it's not just like being self-critical or whatever. It's really like, what is my deal? Like really looking at yourself, like, as objectively as you can. And it feels weird hearing your mom say that, kind of, because you're like, you can't be objective about me. You're my mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, she weirdly kind of is. And my mom's like, my mom's cool as shit. I had no real appreciation for her, and I feel bad saying this, until like now. Like,
but
this
that
age.
Happens for everybody.
Yeah.
Because what happens is, when you're, how old are you?
30.
Because I was going to say, when you're in your 20s, you think you know a lot more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And just time brings you the wisdom that you don't, nothing's as black and white as you thought.
Nothing's as black and white.
Once you appreciate the grayness, then you can go, oh, even though my mother made all these mistakes, she's just normal.
She's just a person. It's so weird that my parents are people. And also, I'm at the age now, a little bit younger than they had me, right? So I'm like at person age now. And it's weird because I get their struggles in a way that I never got.
Yeah, well, to think about that sacrifice right now at this time in your life, you probably think, fuck.
I can't. It's overwhelming.
You're giving up everything.
It's overwhelming. And I do. It's not even something that really was on my mind before. And now it kind of is. Now I like have like a, I don't know. It seems nice. It seems like a nice direction for your life to go. Some kind of, some like, something stable and more fulfilling than just telling jokes to strangers, which I like. I love it. I do it, you know, I do it because I love it. But I don't think any of this really means jack shit without like really solid relationships in your life.
Absolutely.
Who fucking cares about any of this? Who cares about money, property, career? Who cares, right? It's like there has to be like more to that.
Now, the problem is that we're almost doing a Mother's Day app now, which was not the plan. I'll tell you why.
No, it wasn't.
My mother's dead and Katie's mother was a fucking disaster. So
this
isn't a topic.
I haven't spoken to my mother in a long time.
This isn't a topic that we like to fucking talk about on this podcast, Karen.
I've triggered you. Oh, God.
I'm totally joking. No, but she has a fantastic, I'm kidding. And she has a great relationship with her stepmom.
Yeah, my stepmom's amazing. So.
And of course, she can also talk for herself.
Katie, shut up. We're talking about your mom.
Katie, there's another girl here now, so we get 50% female voice from this side of the table. It's part of the deal.
Katie, we occupy the same space, so there can only be one.
That's funny.
So it's a breakup app. I mean, I'm happy to continue talking about mother stuff if you guys want to talk about it.
There's just, I don't know how much mother stuff we can say.
Yeah, we're good. Let's leave it. That's a natural end.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
It was great, though.
We really.
You never know. You never know how it's going to begin, do you?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's nice and organic.
But this is the breakup app, you know, and I'm excited about this topic, only because I actually haven't discussed a ton about breakups lately in my life.
Really?
Katie? How many breakups have you had?
Oof. Well, I suppose what classified, like real breakups, like real relationships? One, two, like four serious relationships, I guess. One, two, three, four. Yeah, four ones. Okay. Four ones that were long enough to be.
Enough
like,
that it hurt.
Well, hurt. Three of them hurt them. One of them hurt me.
No hurt at all for the other three?
I was out the door probably 6 months before I did it, you know.
How long were these relationships?
The first one was 2 years.
Okay.
I was when I was 15 to 18. So that's like a baby.
Yeah, no, but that's pretty big.
Yeah, it was. It was long. I was like, stayed with him a lot longer than I should have because I liked the drama at the time, you know?
Right.
Well, you didn't hurt when that ended? That's 2.5 years of your life.
I felt a lot of relief, like finally. He was not, oh, this is so offensive, but he was really unattractive.
Really?
And not that that's, but I thought it was cool that he was like older and he could buy me beer. But then he like did a lot of weird stuff. Like he pretended he had cancer.
A hot mess.
A lot of our friends, and he would go around with a.
Pretended he had cancer.
He pretended he did, yeah. And then it
and
came out.
And he knew he didn't have cancer, or did he pretend to you as well?
He pretended to me as well, yeah.
And
came
when did
out.
You find out that he didn't
I think
have
one of the guys said it to his mother or something, and she was like, what the fuck are you talking about? So now maybe look, he might.
Yeah, but that's just some bipolar. That's some weird shit there.
Oh,
something.
He was just being dramatic. He was just maybe it'll turn out that he did have something.
So tell me about the.
The hurt one. That was the shortest relationship. That was only 4 months.
But you were obviously like so.
My shortest relationship hurt me the most too.
I was infatuated. I like when I walked into the bar and I was starting a new job. And when I saw him, I thought I am fucked. I was just like
Irish guy.
Irish guy, half black. And I just, he's like the hottest guy until my current person, if they're listening to this. No, but yeah, he was, you know, when you just like make eye contact with someone, you're like, oh. And then we went on a date that night. He actually was meant to be going on a date with someone else that night. She came into the bar. She told me that he was just a friend. I didn't realize, but after we broke up, I found out that that was like someone he'd been seeing, and he had kind of turned her away in front of me and was like, ugh, she's so crazy. Oh, ooh, it should have been a red flag.
Terrible red flag.
I know, but I just was like, oh, this is obviously some...
We see what we want to see.
Exactly. And then...
But can you remember the hurt? Because I actually, the only reason I'm asking
is this is some dead mom talk.
No, the reason I'm asking is because I actually think no matter how much you're in love, it's actually the first one. I think you can be more in love with somebody after that, but actually the first one hurts like a bitch.
I do. I still do because...
The first real hurt.
A friend made a dig about it to me, yeah, the other day, and we've been broken up a year, but a friend made a dig about it, but it made me cry. So I was like, I'm still... And I think even with my current relationship, who's like the most amazing guy I've ever dated, I was so cautious with him. Like, we're... a few months in now, but I was so cautious with him at the start because
as
I
you should be.
I would, but just because of that previous one, yeah, I felt very guarded.
Yeah, but you know, baggage exists for a reason. Like you should be really cautious getting into a relationship. Relationships are like a big deal. It's like a lot to be someone's girlfriend, to call someone your boyfriend. It's like commitment's a lot. Even if it's like, you know, it's on a marriage level commitment, I think it's like a heavy thing.
Yeah.
So what are the words you described to it that with the way that you felt at the time?
Afterwards?
That time you had that breakup.
Oh, just like empty after, just kind of like exhausted. I had all my guy friends stepped in and told me I had to break up with him. It was like, I mean, he had borrowed a ton of money off me. He had like, was trying to stay with me. He'd lost his apartment, raging alcoholic.
Oh.
He like was quite abusive, but masking it through sex that I didn't realize it was physical abuse. And it was until a few of my guy friends were like, you need to stop. And they kind of, I was like, oh, okay, right. So I had to block him on everything. He turned up to my house one day.
Drama.
Turned up drunk, oh, covered in bird shit. He had slept out on the street that Jesus night.
It was he really sounds so hot.
I know. I was like,
what a
Karen. Karen just wants to fix this motherfucker so bad.
I'm not such a fixer.
No?
I'm not such a fixer, but... I do have a lot of empathy for people. So when someone is a little broken, which everyone is, I you can't fix anybody, but I feel like I see how they can fix themselves. I'm like, oh, this is like really simple. Like, you're a dope person and you can develop your talents in this and this way. And this is not an issue. And this, you know, this you can let go of and whatever. And nothing works like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't like push people to, yeah, you can't push people to like be fixed. You just can't. It always has to be them.
I learned that lesson hard as well. I used to love helping people. So I'm like, yo, I fixed myself. You can fix yourself. But yeah. No, you're right. It's not.
Yeah. And you only fixed yourself for that stage. There's a lot more fixing still to be done.
Yep.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, I remember being at a time where I fixed myself, quote unquote, and I remember being really fucking confident that I could help other people to fix. And now I realize I haven't a fucking notion.
Because you think you have the key. You're like, well, yeah, I got through it. I can help.
That's where I am right now.
You think you have the key?
Yeah. Like, I feel like I've done like so much fixing of myself, especially in the last 6 months or so, or year and a, I don't know, a couple years, but more intensely like the past few months. And yeah, I'm like, I got you. Like, well, honestly, I have all the answers.
My advice is, while you have that confidence, while you have that belief that you know,
uh-huh,
my advice is make some YouTube videos now.
That's totally all these what I'm doing.
All these motherfuckers that are making money are talking with a confidence that they have the answer that is so misplaced, but yet so incredibly popular.
Yes, that's totally what I'm doing. I literally, I'm doing it right now.
Oh. All
right,
well, you're not advertising your YouTube clips. Okay. The reason, by the way, I wasn't trying to grill you about the emotions.
No,
it's just
no.
that I've had many breakups. There's only so much time in a life, so there's not that many serious breakups that you can actually have, just because the amount of time it requires to invest in somebody that you would have a serious breakup.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I've had more difficult breakups, but the hurt of the first proper breakup that I had. I mean, I broke up with a girl when I was 15, but that was like my first love. Lost my virginity, and even though it was a serious relationship, you're just too young to really understand the emotions.
Yep.
But the first proper breakup I had was with my girlfriend in Cork. And I will never forget the pain, even though I've had more serious relationships since.
Yeah.
And in fact, when my mom died, somebody asked me, you know, like, or we were just talking about the feeling. And I was like, yeah, it's just like a multiplied version of a really bad breakup.
Yeah.
The grief is just like a bad breakup times whatever number.
Yeah.
But I remember that feeling of like, when you wake up in the morning and you have about a 10-second window before you realize, fuck, she's gone. Yeah. We're not together anymore. And the stopping yourself from not contacting.
The
it was easier.
Self-control, yeah.
It was easier in 1996.
Yeah, I bet.
In that I didn't have to not text her because texting didn't exist.
Oh my God.
In fact, I think the breakup was before summer of 96, which was when I first got my cell phone. But even though it didn't matter, there was no texting.
Wow. Yeah, no, that is easier. It's so hard now because you got the... Now, luckily, my ex-boyfriend didn't have Instagram. He only had Facebook and I just blocked him on that. But I remember when he had emailed me. He got my email and he was like, I've been off the drink for a little while. Really want to give this a go. You'd love my life. And I was like, okay. And we picked a spot where we would meet and I waited there for like 3 hours and he never, ever turned up. Now, he ended up coming to a spot he knew I was at, in, like, let's say a couple of weeks later, and trying to explain himself or whatever. But at that stage, I was done. Oh, my phone broke and I got stuck at work, you know.
If you wanted to.
No, he got drunk. That was it. Uh-huh. But it was like that feeling of, oh, I've let myself down now. Not just that. It's like, oh.
Good riddance.
Yeah, good riddance.
And what about you? Before we get into the mistakes that we've all made, we want to do some practical breakup stuff. But before we get into that, can you remember the worst feeling? It doesn't have to be the worst breakup, but
you know what's
certainly
funny?
The one that hurt the most.
Yeah, so it's funny. I was in a really, really long-term relationship for like almost a decade.
And really?
Yes.
You're 30. When did that begin?
When I was in college. So, yeah, I was still in school.
So, like, 18 to 28?
Yeah. 19 to something. It was almost a decade. I mean, it was, like, 9 years.
For our Irish listeners, when they say school, they mean college.
College.
No, just so they're
clear.
Yeah,
I mean university, yeah. So, I was in my late teens, but, like, an adult. And so that was a really long, of course, very serious relationship. And I thought we were low-key engaged to be married. Like, we talked about it sometime. We had no like wedding plans.
Were you engaged? Officially engaged?
Yeah, technically. Yeah.
I had that too. But that's not the breakup I was talking about.
It's not the breakup I'm talking about either. So that breakup was fucking rough.
The 10-year one?
But here's my point. So, you know, we lived together. I had to move out while we were breaking up. It was absolutely brutal. And what continued to be brutal for a while, because, you know, you don't just... A breakup after that much time is not a clean break. It's awful. It's like excruciating. You break up for like a year. So even though I was out, it was like, you're not emotionally like totally out. And then I ended up dating someone else. That's my most recent breakup. And that one hurt more. It hurt more and for kind of longer. Like, I'm kind of still going through that breakup from like 6 months ago or 5 months ago. And I realized 5 months isn't a tremendous amount of time, but we only dated for a year. Yeah. So at this point, we've been broken up like half the time that we were together. But, and that one sucked so much. Like, it sucked more. Here's one difference is that by the time my really long-term ex and I broke up, we'd had plenty of time to fuck up that relationship. You know, where you have.
So you felt the relief also?
I felt a relief also. And, you know, it's really weird to let go of a 10-year thing. It just feels, you're like, I don't know. You have a lot of self-doubt. It's a divorce. And, you know, you're like, what was this? I don't know. What did I do the last 10 years of my life? You know, you call a lot into question. And but I had a while to get used to the fact that we were going to break up. Right. And also, I was the one who pulled the trigger. I was the one who broke up with him. So, you know, it was my choice.
You guys both lived in New York?
Yeah, we lived together on and off for years. But when we broke up, we were living together. So I had to get my shit out of there in the midst of a breakup. It was the worst. And it was so stressful. But then the guy that I broke up with most recently, the breakup was really abrupt. And, you know, there were, I'm sure, tensions existing between us before we broke up, obviously. But, yeah, I was still in love with him when we broke up. And I still am now, to be honest with you. Yeah, I'm, like, not over it. I saw him, I guess, like, a month back. Was gonna, at a mutual friend's thing. And I was going to, my plan was to go in there, look smoking hot. And be like really sweet and nice but just kind of say goodbye and be like, you know, it was lovely knowing you. This was like a really transformative relationship for me, but there's
you're
no
like
path
a
forward.
Fucking poison for me.
Well, I can't. It's like such a trigger, right? Like I really can't go forward and like be okay and hold on to all this. But that's totally not what happened. Like we had like a really nice reconnection. We ended up talking and like catching up. We didn't even get that deep into like our shit, right? Our relationship. I explicitly came there with the goal of not doing that. Like I didn't want to be like, so what happened between, like, it's not the time and place. What are we going to resolve it right now? But yeah, it was lovely. It was so nice to see him. It was a totally different vibe. It felt different than when we were together because there were no stakes. It's like, it's not my boyfriend anymore.
I know, but so, you don't think that's dangerous?
What's dangerous?
The way that made you feel.
Of course it's dangerous. I'm super not over that, right? So it's on top of the breakup. Now I'm not over this little interaction we had. And we didn't have sex. I was like, because I knew that would really fuck me up. Like, I'm not doing that to myself with full knowledge that I'm just going to, what am I going to just cry for years now? But yeah, so it wasn't the goodbye I'd anticipated. And that, yeah, I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, yes, I know. I just said I have confidence in the answers.
So he broke up with you?
No, I broke up with him, but he kind of left me no choice. At the time, I felt I had no choice. I felt, you know, I felt disrespected by him in certain ways. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I just couldn't stay in this world. It didn't even occur to me to not break up. I couldn't see a way to not break up with him. I was so hurt.
Do you think that part of the more hurt that you're feeling is the sort of potential destroyed or the sense that it could have been something else? Rather than being absolutely sure with a 10-year relationship,
you have this one.
Which is just so exciting.
A little open-ended, yeah. There is some of that, right? Like when my long relationship ended, there was a kind of finality to that, even though in my, you know, it's really... I'm very nostalgic. It's hard to just get over it. And, you know, I missed him a lot. You know, my 10-year ex, I missed him a lot. That was my best friend for a decade. So I would tell myself stuff to just like get through like days and weeks, right? Like, well, you know, maybe we'll both grow and then we can reconnect. Mm. And who knows what'll happen in the future? You know, as long as you're not dead or married or pregnant, you know, life is weird. People get divorced and remarried and stuff. Like, I don't know, anything's possible. But the more time goes on, the more I'm just like certain that that's not gonna happen. But with this newer guy, I'm not certain of any of that. I don't have clarity on that, right? I don't know what the future holds. I still really care about him a great deal.
Now,
and I know
the
feeling's mutual.
I'm not gonna get into any details.
All right.
But I have a little background information on this scenario that you're talking about.
Yes. Me too.
So, are you ever afraid that part of this longing, passionate energy comes from a dysfunctional place because he's a complicated dude?
He's a complicated person. Well, what do you mean by a dysfunctional place? On my end?
Yes. And by the way, I didn't bring you here to grill you about this. I'm just curious because I can identify with the intensity and the longing that tends to be stronger for some reason in the scenarios that are less healthy or more dangerous.
And I am the exact same. So,
well, okay, so it's a good question. I think that, look, as much as our relationship was slightly unusual in certain ways, that wasn't the dysfunction between us. Our thing was like, we were so obsessed with each other, and it was such a high to be around each other, and the sex was unbelievable, and like, that was also kind of new to me, like that level of chemistry. Was new to me.
It's like, which goes hand in hand with this very thing that we're talking about.
It's like a drug. I've never been an addict of anything. I've done plenty of drugs and I just haven't. You know, I'm just like, it's not my personality. But I was balls out addicted to this person.
No, but I was the exact same
way. Addicted. And so the longing is also that. And so by the time that me and my 10-year ex had broken up, not only wasn't there that explosive chemistry anymore, but, you know, even though we loved each other so much, but also that addiction had faded. You know what I mean? Like, I could see myself just not being in that relationship. And when this relationship ended, I was floored. I was devastated.
But the infatuation would fade there too, though.
Yeah, and I think that's...
Letting it go. Yeah, I'm like purposely not letting it go.
I think there's something so unhealthy about us wanting to be in those type of relationships. Like, I mean, of course you and your 10-year ended for a reason, but I do think long-term, it's never going to be that infatuation. It's never, well, there's going to be times.
You just nailed kind of our dysfunction, right? So it was like that. So yes, with my, the ex I was engaged to, we had settled into our relationship pretty quickly, right? We'd settled into like a, you know, there's the frenetic beginning stage and then you kind of mellow out, and we were really content that way for a while. Me and the newest guy never got there, right? We never got past the, it started to clash. The realities of being in an actual relationship with a human being, which is messy. You're going to get mad at each other sometimes. Sometimes you're super in love. That's just what it is. We never could reconcile that part of it with how infatuated we were with each other. They're actually incompatible.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
They're actually incompatible. So
it's exhausting.
It's exhausting. And yes, us being so in love made us unable to deal with normal relationship issues. So if we'd annoy one another, or there's something came up where it's like, hey, what the fuck is that? We felt really unable to address those things within the relationship because it felt like it was going to fall apart.
Yeah.
And we treated it in a very brittle, fragile way. And so eventually that kind of prophecy fulfilled itself, right? If you treat something as breakable, it'll break. So yeah, it broke.
Yeah, I because everything you're saying I relate to, because I'm in the first calm, easy relationship I've ever been, and I'm like, it's nearly off balance for me. Like, I'm used to the possession, the obsession, yes, the jealous, trying to control. Like, I'm not jealous, but I'm used to dating people who are like more dramatic and like stepping around that, whereas this, yeah, it's hard trying to be in something that's calm and normal.
Well,
and
here's
healthy.
What threw me about our last interaction, right? Because I didn't go home with him, and it was the first time we'd had an interaction that was like that. It was calm and like sober and really, really nice. It was like we were friends. It was like reconnecting with an old friend.
It's a lie.
What's a lie? Is it? Like, oh, no, my God.
No, it's entrapment.
No,
so triggering.
No, there's nothing sinister. But the problem is that, so I'll just give an example.
Okay.
And my scenario doesn't lead to a negative thing, but. So I nearly married somebody. I was with somebody for 9 years, on and off. But one of the breaks was quite long, like a year and a half, I think we were apart. And completely separate relationships in the interim. And then, coincidentally enough, I was filming the Des Bishop Working Experience, which was actually the show that like launched my career in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a photographer, so I got her to do the pictures. Now, we had continued to do kung fu. We were in a kung fu class together.
Okay.
And we had managed to maintain what could be considered like pretty normal enough ex relationship, in that we never hung out, but we were in this kung fu class together. So we saw each other from time to time. But then I got her to do these photos. And for some reason, when she came down to do the photos, there was this thing of, oh, well, this is kind of nice, isn't it? And so we started just talking more, but not being together, but just like talking more.
Okay.
And then she said, I'm moving to London to develop my, you know, to further my photography career. And we were like, well, sure, you're leaving in September, so we might as well fuck around in the meantime.
Of course.
And then by the time she left, it was like, well, we might as well try to have a long distance relationship.
Oh no.
And then 4 years later, our engagement broke up. But what I'm saying is,
yeah,
that,
but
you have
that's,
to be-
that's what broke it. You can't just go from an intense relationship, year and a half long breakup, to then long distance.
No,
with
I know,
the same
but
person.
But what I'm saying is that's just one particular scenario. My point is that we weren't even going to get back together.
Yeah, right.
So it's dangerous when you get to that,
I agree.
That friendly place, because eventually you will get back together.
I agree. I think it was, well, if you want to move on from him, you got to cut him out cold turkey, like cigarette. You got to throw him away. No, you went to that party knowing he would be there.
You had a slip.
You got to
go back and
you're
get your one
cigarette.
Your one day coin.
We had
yes.
We
that's
had
an AA joke.
Nothing
that's
to
I
do with
that.
Each. We
on TV.
Had no contact from the breakup until that point, when I knew I'd be seeing him at this party, and then since then have also not had contact.
Yeah,
that
but
was pretty good.
Yeah. You know, you are, in fairness, and we're
not saying you're doing.
No. But just
you can
if you can
want.
Do it for the future, because I know where I've done the. I've gone back, and I'm like, okay, I should have just cut them out, but. We've spoken about this, not on the podcast, but you've talked about how important it is for you maybe to be alone for a little while, because you've come
sure.
out of a 10-year
because I never have
on
been.
And off for a year and then straight into a year
I never have been. I've never really been on my own as an adult, which means I've never really been on my own. I went from my parents' house, and then I was in college for a hot second before I met someone, and he was not my peer. He was 10 years older than me. So I've like always had
a 10-year guy was 10 years older than you?
Yes. Oh. So it was, yeah, that was the whole thing. And then...
Oh, he was 28 when you were 18? Yes. Or 29 when you were 19? Wow.
So, you know...
Wow, you fucking left him high and dry at 40, huh?
It's wow. He's fine. He's fine. He went on. He moved on faster than I did.
Oh,
much faster than I did.
Guys but, do, but the hurt comes back to haunt them later on.
That's
but
exactly we'll discuss, what happened. Exactly what happened.
We'll discuss that.
That's what happened.
We'll discuss that in section 3.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my god, I'll settle in. I'm gonna need another tea.
Well, no, conclude this, and then maybe we'll get into more general topics about breakups.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm not only am I not over it, I don't feel a special need. I think I'm handling it fucking perfect. Like, we're not talking right now because I can't take that. I just can't. I can't take a distraction like that. I have to do my own thing for a while. If we start talking, it's like, then what? Honestly, then what? What are we going to be like friends? I can't talk to him without having feelings. And I can't have feelings without being super engrossed in this. And I just cannot do it right now. So, and to be fair to him, I think he's doing his own thing too. So this is all healthy and good. And in my heart, I'm not over it. And I'm not, you know, I'm not pushing myself to be necessarily over it. I'm not pushing myself to control my feelings and thoughts because those I can't.
No,
I'm pushing myself to control my actions because that's what I have control over. And that has been a wild success, I got to tell you. Like, I've never been funnier on stage. I've never worked harder in my life. You know, I've never been more productive. I'm just doing what I got to do. How I feel is almost irrelevant.
I think I may have said this on the podcast before, but it's like my favorite thing. And actually, my stepmother said it to me, but you're just in emotional prison for a little while. So do you know what I mean? Like, it'll hurt. It hurts less now than it did 3 months ago, but you just kind of keep doing it. In 3 more months, you're going to feel a little less, you know? But then every time you see him again, it's like a setback. But you just got to do the time. You got to do the time.
Or you fall in love with somebody else.
Yeah, you'll fall in love with
somebody else. You get infatuated with some other emotional mess.
Yeah.
That's it, though. What a blessing. You're right. It's not enough to move away from something. You have to move towards something else. And at the moment, it's comedy and my friends. And it's not quite enough. That's it's great. Not quite enough. It doesn't quite fill the void of someone you're in love with. Just doesn't. But it's good enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, there will be other people. So... it's fine. I can't control that either.
No. Wait, you know what I just realized?
What?
I came to America because of a breakup.
Did you?
Yeah, I just totally forgot. I was with this guy for 3 years. We broke up and I broke up with him. And then like a week later, he kissed a girl we worked with in front of me. And
in front of you?
Immature. It was like, well, we had a staff party and we all worked together and we were going to the staff party. And then me and him, we were only broken up a week and we'd been chatting the whole night. And this girl never liked me anyway. But she was wearing his jumper, his jacket. And she came over and she said, I'm just wearing his jacket because I'm cold. I'd never do that to you. And I was like, oh yeah, I don't care. No, I did break up with him, so it's not like I had a leg to stand on. But then I went for a drink and I came back and they were kissing and I just left because I was like, boo. I'm not even going to give him. But then for weeks later, they would work together and she would come apologize to me. But then she would do something nasty again, like she would say something mean. Or
how old were you guys? It's like kid shit.
Well, he was 6 years older than me. I moved over here when I was 24, 23, 24. So I was a year out of that, but on and off for a year. We would hook up and then he would come and tell me after work. He would arrive up and be like, oh, I slept with her, but I was thinking your name the whole time. And
no
I
way like, he said
ew.
That.
Oh,
swear that's to just God.
That's it was just so manipulative.
Very dramatic. So the last time you did something like that, I was walking by you.
This guy didn't pretend he had cancer, right?
No.
You picked some weird ones.
And again, maybe the other guy, maybe the mother didn't want people to know. So maybe the other guy did have like a weird, who knows?
He
so
didn't have cancer.
Well, he was, you know, you're young, dramatic, but yeah, I pick him. My dad is always like, I just don't understand your choice in men. But so my dad made me break up with this guy, actually. Because my step-grandmother had passed away and he didn't come to the funeral. And my dad was like, where is he? Like, he should be helping out. And he was like, actually, he's not that nice to you. And he drove me up to the house. I packed my stuff and then I broke up with him while he was in bed, which he was not happy about, but I knew I wouldn't have. I had my cat and my dad's. I had a getaway car ready to go.
Aww.
But we lived together and it was just a mess. But so after the last thing of me, of them two, of their drama, I walked by Use It, which is where you can buy American visas. And I had the exact amount of money to get the visa.
A J1, a student visa.
Yeah. Gotcha. The visa to America. So I put my money on it and you couldn't use it until you graduated. I still had 9 months to graduate from college. So that was it. And then he said to me right before I left, like, I'll move to America with you. And I was like, no, thank you. And that's, you know,
let me escape you.
Yeah. But look, I'm glad all those things happened because the best thing that ever happened to me was moving to America. So
that's right.
It was
damn right.
Be in America.
Hell yeah.
Be in America. No dick will get in the way of me moving to America.
And I've already mentioned I hadn't orgasmed during sex before I moved to America, so I'm glad I didn't say
well, really worked out for you.
Or if his friends listen to this, sorry.
Isn't this the greatest country in the world?
You don't have to keep apologizing to people that listen to the podcast.
Well, I know that my friend who's friends with him specifically listens to this. One of the guys,
fuck this guy.
I said something about
reading.
He fucking said to you, I was thinking about you while I was fucking my new girlfriend.
Yeah, and he was like,
fuck this guy. You don't have to apologize.
You're right, actually, fuck you.
Also, that's such manipulative bullshit.
I would never say that. I only say that to girls that I fucked once and they're away and they need to feel special.
Oh, he was the worst.
You're a delight.
I just think about that. I don't let anybody know who I'm thinking about.
Did I say this on the podcast? He was like really aggressive. He would like wake me up during the night being like, I know you're sleeping with Gary. And I'm like, Gary's my best friend. But I'm like, what the fuck? I've never cheated on anyone. I think he might have been away. But he pushed me one night and my cat was on the bed and my cat like skid at him, and then he turned around and shouted at my cat, and then my cat shit on his side of the bed. Isn't that amazing?
That your cat is better at dealing with your shitty boyfriends than you are?
Yes. I'm better now. I was younger me.
That's so fucking abusive.
Katie's
to
now
shove
the,
someone away.
Katie's now the cat.
She's
It was physical bad. Abuse.
Yeah, that's physical. That's horrific.
But Katie
abuse.
Turned into the cat.
She turned into the cat. Oh, you manifested that cat shit.
Yeah.
I'm saying now Katie's the cat.
Yeah, now I'm
good for you.
Nobody fucks with Katie.
Be the
now.
Cat. Nobody fucks with me.
Now I'm shit on the bed. Shit on the other side of the bed, you fuck with her.
Now I'm in such a good, like, I'm treated so well in my relationship. He makes me breakfast every morning, dinner, and like treats me way too good, pays for everything.
Can't wait till this relationship turns into a disaster because I'm going to play her back all the bullshit she said.
He did do one weird thing. He did one weird thing that I spoke to Des about.
We did that on another podcast. Are you going to talk about this now?
I don't know. I'm afraid to. He did one weird thing that is a slight red flag, and we've talked about it, and I'll talk about it
all
on
right,
the podcast.
Tell it its entirety. Don't rush it because I know I've heard it, but nobody else has.
Should I talk about it?
Well, it's up to you. But if you're going to tell the story, tell it as if no one's heard it before.
Okay, what happened?
You know what I mean? Just because
I'm afraid he's going to listen to it and get mad at me.
Well, then don't say it.
I will. Okay, I'll save it. Hi, love you people, but we'll wait until...
I agree that it's not the best to talk about your current relationship on a podcast. I've made that mistake so many times, and I will never do it again.
And he's so good. Okay, you may play all this back.
Just drop it.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
Just save yourself.
You're going to destroy your relationship by talking about it.
We're talking about breakups, not your fucking bullshit hope for
things. I just mean it's nice to be...
Not your hopes and dreams.
It's just nice to be in something nice.
Yeah,
I think.
Stop. Just shut up, Katie. We're talking about breakups.
I've been through so many of these.
I am invested in you not ruining this relationship on this podcast. It's not worth it.
Silence. Okay, so let's just for comedy purposes / advice purposes.
All right,
Katie, you had a list of stuff that you said was obvious, but let's from the obvious things, let's have a discussion.
Okay, so
these are breakup tips that you got from the internet.
Yeah, I googled how to break up with someone, and I went through a bunch of them and put all together what were the similar things they say. But they say in person is the best. Obviously, we all know that.
Yeah, we've discussed that before about text and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Being
how
honest.
Chill. Let's just stay on that for a sec.
Okay.
How long do you think? How many interactions do you think one has with somebody before it's inappropriate to just be like text?
Wait, what do you mean? How many?
Just say like, you know, how long will you be with them? Like you hooked up a couple of times.
Oh,
and you don't want to hang out anymore. Is it, you know, cause we've had this, we've talked about
a breakup by breakup. I mean,
no, we're not talking about
the relationship.
No. I'm just taking it out of that just for a sec.
Fine.
Saying, when is it no longer appropriate to
just text?
To just be like, listen, I'm just not into it. Because we've had mixed results. Karen Fien was like, whatever, I can't be fucking dealing with this right now. Just fucking text.
So it's not about length of time. It's about like depth of emotion and seriousness of the relationship. Like, you can be in a serious thing very quickly, where it would be inappropriate to be like, okay, bye, like over text or ghost somebody. Or you could be hooking up for a while and it's really never a thing, and then you go, hey, I can't do this anymore. So I don't think it's a timeline.
No, I agree.
Yeah I think it's an emotional
thing.
So
fucking handy though when you just fucking text, you know, because then it was like, oh, that's terrible. But it's like, yeah, but it's done, isn't it?
It's done. Mm-hmm. I've gone on some so I have not hooked up with anybody since me and my ex broke up back in December. It's been a minute. I'm not really so hooked up.
It's been five months.
It's been
2019, I guess.
It's been 5 months.
You haven't even kissed a guy.
I kissed one guy. So I've been on two first dates. I'm not like a hookup person.
Hey, by the way,
but
did you get on Raya or no?
So they, I'm like on it, but I didn't set up my profile yet.
But you're on it. You were accepted.
Yeah. I
got Karen on Raya.
Yeah.
I gave her my friend pass. Aw,
that's really nice. So now they were like, congratulations. And I was like, ooh, it felt good for like a second. Then I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do an app.
You're one of the elites.
I'm an elite. I know. They accepted me pretty quick. So I'm
No. It's a guarantee. The friends pass is a guarantee.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was a compliment.
That's what I was giving you.
I thought
you.
It was special.
I was giving you.
They emailed me like, congrats. We've thought you through. That's not guarantee. What they said. That's not what they said. All right. Well, now I know. That's not special. I had no idea.
Well, anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Me and my friend used to call a rich asshole young asshole.
So... Are you under pressure for time?
No, I just thought it said 10 to 7. My spot's at 7, but it actually says 10 to 6. We're all right.
Oh, we're perfect.
Yeah.
What did you just say?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Oh, I haven't hooked up with anybody. Oh, yeah. But, okay, so I went on these two first dates. I just go on, like, first dates once in a while. And, because, you know, I'm trying to put distance of experiences between me and this breakup. Like, if I go on a date, I'm already kind of taking a step.
Yeah, but rather also, it's than just fun to sad, go on a date. You don't have to relate it back to him.
I did it for that reason. But yeah, it is just fun to go on a date. So one was a blind date. That was just a no. The guy wasn't like horrible or anything. It was just like not going to be a
shitty date. It's fine.
It wasn't even a shitty. It was like, okay. We went to see Colin Quinn's show. Red State, which is like, because I knew he wanted to take me to that. And my blind date, the person who'd set us up was like, he wants to take you to Colin Quinn's show. I was like, done. I'd go with anybody to see Colin Quinn. So we went, it was fun, and I was not interested. And he hit me up for a while and did this weird thing where he's kind of a comedy fan, so it's just like this was not ever going to be the right match, but he would show up to where I had spots. And at first I thought it was a coincidence because he kind of is around, but I'd never really seen him around, so it was weird. And then it happened consistently over like a weekend. And then once I was like hosting at Greenwich Village Comedy Club, and he was like, I was about to tell the story of his blind date, and I look over and he's there in the audience.
Oh.
And then I ended up not doing any material because I was hosting, but yeah, it was weird.
Did you text that guy and be like, yo, you got to back off?
I told his friend that I was so creeped out by the whole thing. It was just so weird for him to be turning up places, and a bizarre feeling. And also it was like, I understand that you can't just give people hints. They can't read your mind. You have to be direct. But you know, I was never responding to any text message. It was too fucking too much. It was just too much. When I did like morning radio or whatever, he was there. I told my friend, I was like, hey, can you please tell your homie to back off? He was like, yeah, you know, this guy's starting to get the feeling that you might not be interested. And
yeah.
I didn't handle it right. I should have been like...
No, he just got a directly text.
So the second time, that's what I did. This guy approached me at the gym. He was kind of cute. He was cute. And he approached me at the gym, which is like so off-putting. And I was like going to shut it down really hard. But then we talked a little bit and I was like, you know what? Fine. I'll see what your deal is. We like went out.
That's off-putting because that's the way it used to be back in the day. You had to fucking talk to somebody.
No, it's so gross. It's disgusting to just talk to somebody. Like, it's...
But
what
that's
are you
the
doing?
Way it used to be.
At the gym...
Well, it used to be whatever. I mean, like...
No. I get that. But at the gym...
There's no other way to meet people.
I totally get that part. But at the gym is like... It's off-putting at the gym. First of all, I'm... And, you know, the ex I was engaged to used to make fun of me because I would complain if guys would talk to me at the gym. But he was like, you're at the gym so that people will talk to you outside the gym. But you just like... They can't talk to you at the gym. I was like, yes. Exactly. He was like, you just want people to look at your butt, but not at the gym. So, yes.
So you just want to be admired. Okay, so this guy admires you at the gym, but he gets through your fucking anti-gym bias.
He came up to me when I had headphones on and was in the middle, not just in the middle of working out.
But you met him.
I was in the middle of a thing. Yes. So I met up with him. He was cute. We ended up talking. We like kissed at this bar.
Oh, you went to a bar and kissed just like that.
We had an evening. He was like hosting some show. He's an actor. He's not a comic. Oh, hosted a show. It was cute.
I could have told you straight away. That's a fucking disaster.
I already knew it was going to be. I already knew. I went into it. As soon as I said, when he said actor to me, I was like, oh, don't tell people that.
Oh, forget it.
I was like, that's so off-putting. So I went. It was cute. He did a good job. He like did these like cute things from the stage. And I was going to peace out. I texted my sister. I was like, maybe we should meet up right now. And then he just did a bunch of cute things. And I was like, all right, I'll stick around.
So you
have a drink
one more time.
No. This was one night. We went to a bar afterwards and, you know, made out this bar a little bit, which was like so cute. It was so middle school-y. Like, it was just fun. And so he goes to my gym. So we took an Uber, you know, uptown. And I was like, you're going to go to your house. I'm going to go to my house. You know, I'm not hookup-y like that. He was like, great. Kiss me goodnight. And that
See
was
that
it.
See, that very American girl thing to do. Make it very clear and then stick to it.
Totally. Yeah, I told him in the car. I was like, you're not coming home with me. And he was like, fine. And then I immediately lost interest. Like, I right away, as soon as I was home, look, it was the kind of thing where the opportunity to hook up would have been that night when we were kind of in the middle of like a thing, you know, and like there was this energy or whatever. And then immediately afterwards, I was like, oh yeah, I'm not going to like put
any more. So did you text him and just be like, yo, I'm just not into it?
So it took me a while to decide I wasn't into it. He had asked me what I was up to. I was like, hey, I'm not really sure. I'll hit you up later. Followed up with me again. And then I saw him at the gym and I hadn't responded to his last text. And he was kind of weird with me at the gym where he was like, gave me kind of a face.
That's why you can't fucking date guys from the gym.
That's what I'm saying. You can't. You can't. Can't shit where you eat. It's such a mistake. So I saw him this one time and he was like, hi. And then he gave me this like look, like a look that demanded an explanation for not texting him back. And that instant, I just knew this was just, I was just completely done. And so I was doing my thing. I didn't see him to say goodbye. Like, he was off doing something else. So I peaced out of the gym. And a little while later, like an hour later, he sent me this super long text.
Oh, no.
A couple paragraphs long. Oh, my God.
One fucking meetup. I can't stand the one meetup fucking you don't respect me motherfuckers, man.
It was it wasn't aggressive, but it was aggressive to send that length of a message to someone you've met once.
Yes.
But he was like, hey, also the first line of it, I was on the phone to my friend, text comes out, I go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I just read it immediately out loud. My friend goes, no.
But that's so the great thing about those texts, you get to show them to everybody. It's like, yo, check this out, how fucking crazy is this guy?
And you know, I've told people in person, but I resisted the urge to screenshot it and send it to everyone because it's bad karma. I just felt
not fair. You can just show it to people.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't screenshot it, but show everybody. Of
course. That's fair enough.
Of course. It's like the funnest. But he was like, hey, he was like, first of all, I've never been, you're the first person to ever ghost me both over text and in person.
Oh, God.
Talk about unfuckable. Listen, if you're coming at me with that beta, and he was cute. He was attractive and like fit and stuff. If you're coming at me with that beta energy now, when we've been on one date and I saw you at the gym twice.
Not, you know what? It's not actually beta energy. It's the opposite. It's fucking, he's such a fucking egomaniac. Can't believe that you dissed him.
It was butthurt energy though. It was butthurt. So look, it's something that, not beta energy, someone who's coming at me with confident masculine energy, which is attractive, would be like, would have ignored the fact that I hadn't texted back and had left the gym. I would have been like, when am I seeing you? That's what you do. You just assume the best. You assume that it's a positive situation in your favor. That's attractive, right? Instead of being like, hey, this feels negative to me. Maybe we can salvage it. It is really negative. You know what I mean? Now
you've
entrenched the negativity because you're kind of weak. And if this weakness is coming at me like this and I barely know you, it must run so deep and I cannot have sex with you. And the way he wrote it was like, because, you know, we live in the same neighborhood, but I don't hang out up there. So I don't like really know the neighborhoody things. I don't even know like the parks and stuff. I'm always down here. I live like way uptown. And we're downtown. I don't know if people know that.
No, there's no secrets about the location.
There aren't?
Like, as in, like, people know I'm in the Lower East Side. I post all the time on my Instagram. There's no secrets. Right.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Plus, there's so many women been up here. I mean, the word gets out. No, I'm just kidding.
Bitches, am I right?
I'm kidding.
Well, they have to go through it. A strict security man first.
That's right.
Thank God you've got balls out security downstairs.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I tip my security guys good. It's like, you keep your fucking mouth shut. I never walk through this door and you go, another one? What's this one, Dominican? Okay, guys, I'm kidding.
Fascinating.
I'm kidding. I didn't tip the guys. I know they keep the fucking mouth shut.
They keep the fucking mouth shut. They're professionals in New York. They never say shit. But he wrote me this whole thing. He goes, I don't know if you thought that, were you under the impression that I wanted us to, you know, do this and show you this and go there? It was like all this stuff that we talked about in the neighborhood. He was like, have you seen this lighthouse? No. Have you been to this park? No. He's like, you know, I don't want to pressure you to go to this park with me or this lighthouse. Really what I wanted was just Netflix and chill. Blah, 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 this whole fucking thing.
Jesus Christ.
And he goes, allow me to court you. Da 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 da. And I
allow me to court you?
Yes.
What is he, fucking Walter Raleigh?
Also, what are we gonna get married? Like, this is too much. This
court
is
way
too much. Court you for what? What are we gonna get engaged? Like, homie,
Shakespeare degree.
Yeah, Raul, what did you come up with that yourself?
Actual people in relationships don't send more than four sentences in a message. Like, what are you doing?
It was a long It was a long
He was writing his novel.
Wow.
It was a novel, and then
people are so sensitive.
So unattractive.
Well, I was
anyway, by
friend.
The way, we're supposed to go to a list of fucking breakup tips.
I know,
15
I know,
minutes
I know.
On your goddamn two texts.
I know. But the audience, you're welcome. I'm bringing this heat. But I just go, I was, my friend was like, wow, that's a lot. I was like, yeah, listen, someone who sends me a text like that, like kind of begging to be seen again, just means that he's already come like seven times thinking of us having sex. And he's like, the whole, that message was like, I thought we were going to have sex. Why aren't we having sex? Why allow me to have sex with you?
Well, yeah, because he, you know, the, some guys are so funny like that. Like, he would have fucked you and then ghosted you and he'd be comfortable with that. But because you cut him off early, he's so hurt.
You're so wise. That's it. That's it. Oh, my God.
I mean, maybe, maybe not. People tend to want to stick around.
Oh, yeah. But, look at that.
Cute, cute little, I mean, I don't know about it. All that. Maybe I think, feel like it's a projection a little bit.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm just here for the jokes. I'm not here for the truth.
Okay, the next, right, tip, the next tip is something you already did, and we already spoke about it. End as soon as you know it can't go on, which is what you did with your ex-boyfriend.
I did.
You just get end out.
As soon as you know it's what I did with the last one.
Who the
but not,
fuck follows that?
But yes, well, I didn't the first time. I, you know, it was probably years, you know, probably at least a year when things were kind of, you know, it's when you live together, yes, you're with someone for so long, it's really hard to do that. But the shorter term one was like really intense. Something about the intensity of it made me just know to pull the trigger, I guess.
That's a tough one though, because, you know, sometimes you think it's not, you shouldn't go on, but it's just a tough period that you get through.
Yeah, 100%. So it is, you think it's going to get better.
It's very hard to know, really, when, you know, if you know that you shouldn't go on. I think it is, because, like, well, first of all, if you're married and you have children and there's a level of commitment
totally.
That's deeper,
yeah,
you got to get through that shit anyway. Like, I just think instinct is bullshit a lot of the time.
I agree. I'm talking as someone with unmarried with no kids and no assets.
Yeah, well,
with
the
people.
Three of us are.
Right, but that's the perspective I'm coming from.
That's really good what you said, because I always think trust my instinct, and I've ended up in really bad relationships. So that's funny where you say that instinct.
Well, just in the sense that, like, I mean, there have been times. I mean, I've had some successful relationships, unsuccessful relationships, but I would have gladly walked very early on a couple of them.
Yeah,
and thank God that I didn't.
Yeah.
So I like that advice. However, I think you have to be. I think there should be like a paragraph under that, which I'm sure there was on Google, about the ways that you can check yourself if this instinct is believable. You should
totally.
Trust it.
You know, yeah. What? And even I honestly just had this thought within the last couple of days, that even though when I broke up with my most recent ex, it was so, I was like, I have to break up with this guy. Like I didn't even see a choice. I didn't even consider other options. But when I think back on it now, I believe we kind of had to break up because of timing issues and all kinds of shit. But As far as just what catalyzed the breakup, like the shit that had just happened between us, did I act in haste? Like,
no.
I don't, you guys don't think so?
No.
I don't know.
I mean,
anymore.
We're not talking about, which I understand. But actually, I think that for me would be beyond instinct. That is clear as day. Fucking, the jury's going to
really
come back unanimous.
I felt disrespected. I felt intensely disrespected. And I was like, I can't do this.
If you hadn't have walked out 6 months later, you would have been like, that should have been the red flag.
Yeah.
You would have felt so... Mm. You did something that everybody is like, if they were to hear, would be so proud. Because there's so many people who wouldn't have. But that was 100% you did.
And I would go further to say that part of the intensity of emotion you were feeling was largely to do with the kind of guy that he is. And they never end well, those relationships.
No, really. And he caused
and that's
drama.
Not fair.
He caused that. You didn't do anything. And that's I can't even see how anything that was that from what you've told us is.
But it's
very
good to experience that fucking intensity, man.
100%.
It's great. But it's good that you got out pretty unhurt, I feel. Well, you know.
You know, emotionally, it fucked me up a little bit. But is it going to, am I damaged or whatever? No, I'm not. I'm honestly more fine than. I'm still hurt from it, but I'm so much better off as like a strong person than I was before any of these breakups.
I think that you followed that advice. The part of that advice that is definitely correct, you followed it, and
yes.
I think you're better for it. Now it's impossible
Appreciate
to
that.
Well, it's impossible to know the what ifs, but I do think the what if of had I thought, fuck it, I'll deal with what happened, but we'll stay together, have a stern conversation with him. I think the future would have been dark.
Well, we had a stern conversation in the course of that weekend, and it didn't take. And then there was another incident immediately after that. So that really was like, I felt a lack of empathy from him. Like,
that's
we just
you
talked
dodged
about
the bullet.
It.
But that's you leaving gives him the choice to kind of look and address his behavior, fix it, and come back to you and say, I'm sorry, you were wrong. But he didn't even do that.
Well, look. To be fair, it's only been a few months, and to be fair, to be more fair, you know, I think that when I saw him a few weeks back, I could tell that he had also been in pain, and I could tell that doesn't mean take him back or whatever, but I could see that I wasn't the only one struggling. And I could also see that he had done a little bit of that work. Is it enough? No, or we'd be together. But it was, I could see that I wasn't the only one kind of going through this.
You got out in time.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
What's the next one?
Okay. Be honest. Acknowledge the real reasons.
Oh God, it's hard to do that.
So hard. Oh my God, it's hard to do
well,
that.
The real reasons are I haven't fucking loved you for years.
The sex has gone real bad.
Boring. You know, you don't lick my ass. You know, all these things that are essential in our relationship.
It's also so fixable. Lick an ass.
Guys, I'm kidding. I never broke up with anybody because they didn't lick my ass.
Guys,
I consider ass licking to be a bonus, a privilege, not an essential part of the relationship.
Yeah. Really? But it's such an easy ask.
But you know, for you.
It's hard. It's hard
for whom is it a struggle?
Listen, there's loads of people on this.
I have never licked anyone's ass.
I'm talking to Irish people.
She's never even watched fucking porn.
What?
No, not
anyway,
yet.
Anyway, it's a regular.
I'm going to watch it with a little camera and
It's very shocking if you've never seen it. It's a shock.
Well, I saw once. You're aware of it. Bestiality porn, and that's good.
Yeah, don't start with that.
I was 12, 13. The boy showed me.
We're going to start you off a little softer.
It's not. So let me see.
It's so important.
The honesty one is really hard because sometimes it's easier to just lie because you don't want to hurt. It's just if you're honest, you're possessive and jealous. And then, if they're aggressive, they might. They're not
listen, at the end of the day, the being honest part's not that important. The most important part is that you fucking break up.
Dude, I thought honest with yourself. That's how I took it.
No.
Basically, be honest with the other person. No, you don't have to.
Because
they should fix themselves.
You don't owe them anything.
Yeah, fuck that. That's not important.
Okay. It's about you.
I got one, which is basically if you're sure 100% that you don't want to be in this relationship, you got to fucking not have contact. Contact is
that's what it says here. Break off contact.
Contact is a curse. You gotta do that. I know. People like, I think we can still be friends. Yeah, maybe sometime in the fucking long-term future, but even thinking about the time where we might be friends is a trap.
Yeah.
You can't be fucking friends.
No, I agree. I completely 100% agree, I think.
Yeah. Long-term, you might end up being friends. I got pretty good friendships with some long-term exes, and I mean, they're married with kids now, we're friends. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But short-term, if you really want this relationship to be over, you can't have contact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it creates voids. It creates an emptiness in you. And when you have an emptiness, it's desperate to be filled. And you cannot fill it with the very thing that's created the emptiness.
Well, it's like, look, that's it. It's the void already exists, whether you have contact or not, because you're not with this person. And so the contact gives you this false sense of proximity, right? Oh, well, it's like they're right there. But they're not right there. You had shit that broke you up.
But not to mention that sometimes it temporarily heals the pain. And actually the pain healing makes you feel like maybe this is better because I hate the fucking pain. But that's like a fucking heroin addict halfway through his sickness being like, fuck it, just one.
100%.
And then you go, actually, this is better. And it's like, yeah. And guess what? You're fucking 3 years, you're going to be back in the same fucking spot.
Yep. Yeah, you have to just take it.
You gotta fucking sweat it out.
Take that out. Yeah, and it's not. Breakups are not graceful, right? Like you're gonna be messy. It's not pretty. You're not gonna look good. I don't mean like to the other person. I mean you're gonna be a mess for a minute. You're gonna be like
you're gonna
break out. Yeah,
you're gonna grieve.
Skip the gym or whatever.
Grieve. Like it is grieving.
Yeah, it is.
It's
a loss.
Well, something. It's a huge loss. Something died.
But for the person who's doing the dumping, I think people forget that the person who's doing the dumping is also losing someone.
Yeah, I don't think it's that much of a difference.
Yeah, I think it's hard for both.
The whole who broke up with who.
People are always like there for the person who is broken up with it. But if the person who is doing the breaking up is making that decision, it's so hard. I feel as bad.
It hurts to hurt people.
Okay.
There was advice then on how to do the breaking up. And it was that it should be, if you're going to break up with the person, it should be in their home so you can leave.
100%. That's also how first date should go. Like if you go home with somebody, go to their home and then leave.
Oh, I wouldn't go home to anyone's home on a first date because I wouldn't.
All right, not first date. I also don't go home with people on a first date.
I mean, if I want them, I don't.
Let's just stay focused.
Yeah,
that was.
No. I know.
I blame you.
Nobody did anything wrong there. I'm just.
You are so the dad of this podcast.
Well, somebody has to keep it.
Well, anyway. Yeah. But then there was also this other thing saying do it in public, which I don't think is good. I think in their
home. It's not always appropriate.
Yeah. But I guess the public thing is more if you're afraid for
And I mean, honestly, I don't think it's as important to talk about like how to break up. Because I think at the end of the day, the way to break up is to just fucking do it.
Yeah, you're right.
Whatever way it happens. I mean, I know that there's a ton of discussion to be had around what's appropriate and what's not. But most importantly is to begin the process, because no matter how much they think you shouldn't have done it this way, people will throw their shit onto you about how hurt they are. Mm-mm. The reality is that the hurt has begun, and that's the most important.
It's going to be a mess no matter what. And the truth is the hows are kind of a lie, because it's so, so specific to the people we're breaking up.
Yes.
Well, I forgot because, sorry, I forgot that there was another article I read where it's so back to the part where it says, when you think about it, do it. But there was another psychologist woman, and she was writing that, tell the person all the issues you're having, give them a chance to fix it, and then if it's not fixed, then break up.
That's what I did. Yeah. Both that's times good, is what I did.
That is very good advice.
I think so, because I think the other person might not be aware. I think it's so true. Communicate everything, even if it's something as fucking irritate you that they're late all the time. The person might not read, like, I'm late to everything I go out, like dates, I'm always late. But like if someone was like, oh, it really bothers me, I'd be like, fuck, I better.
Totally.
Because I'm always on time for shows. I can be on time. Yep. But I mean, that's very small, but I'm trying to think.
Well, the bigger stuff would be like, you seem to be uncomfortable with my affection.
And yeah.
You tend to hide in your phone, you know, when we're together. And I'm just wondering, you know, do you have a massive problem with intimacy?
Yeah.
And if they're like, go fuck yourself, then you probably need to break up. But if they're like, right, I'll go see somebody, then you might have a chance.
Yeah. Or even when guys get jealous, you know, you're dating someone and they get a little bit jealous over another guy, and you say, this, you know, this is a friend, you need to kind of check that. Mm-hmm. And then if they check it, fine.
I know, but I mean, like, in terms of reaching a point where you're thinking, fuck, this is a problem, that is very good advice to say. Don't just think like, I don't think this is going to work out. Mm-hmm. Say, we need to sit down because we're at a fucking major crossroads here.
That's what I'm saying.
And here's the things that I think. They might have some things that come back to you.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And they might be able to just then be like,
well, look, anybody can fuck up. Like, a fuck up isn't, my friend and I will always talk about relationships, always say that's not what you do, it's what you do next, right? Like, you're gonna fuck up, you're gonna do stuff that hurts
corporate people. Speak in relationships.
Is it super corporate? Because what I see is like, you will fuck shit up professionally, personally, the whole deal, but that's to be expected, you know, assuming your intent wasn't to be hurtful. It's not about that. That's okay. It's what you do next. It's not just the fact of fixing it, but like how you get from point A to point B. Like, it's between those two points that's what's important.
And I think we've all been in relationships. I'm sure our listeners have all been in relationships where you're sitting with your friends and you're like, we're just going through a tough time. And then 6 months later, you're like, actually, we're in a good patch. So, I mean, relationships do have ups and downs. But in relation to corporate speak, there was an Accenture commercial, and it was Tiger Woods in the weeds, high weeds. And it said, success is 10% what you did and 90% what you do next.
Oh, shit. I didn't know it was like that.
Tiger fucked up and he's in the weeds, but if you can get this motherfucking ball out of these weeds and onto the green, that's the more important part.
And he did it.
So don't focus on your mistakes.
Yeah. I know. That's really good. My friend gave me really good advice once because I'm so careful because of bad relationships, I nearly expect perfection from the next ones. And she was like, no one's ever going to be perfect. Mm. You have to also remember, you kind of have to accept some faults.
Oh, absolutely.
And you also can't expect the level of chemistry with a new person that you had with someone that you have history with, right? When you meet someone new, it's just not going to be what the last thing was. Mm. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's new. You don't know each other. So you can't, you know, and it always invites the comparison and to who you were just with.
And something that's an extreme intensity at the start can burn out very quickly. Mm-hmm. So, or whereas something else could build with intensity over time, which is like, I guess when I had that intense thing with my next thing, I was like, oh, it's not as intense, but now it's so much better than what I had before because we've built and got comfortable and got to know each other a little bit better. Whereas a lot of my stuff before were quite intense.
Yep.
Okay. So one final thing I want to talk about.
All right.
I'm getting under pressure for time here.
Okay.
Katie has a set at 7:00.
That's true.
Yeah. I gotta leave at 6:30.
Okay.
This is a favorite topic of mine, but I can't speak. I don't know if this is an absolute fact, but I definitely know that men and women deal with breakups differently.
They really do.
And my throw out assumption is that men definitely tend to feel it later. I alluded to it earlier. But in my experience, in my lifetime, I have found it quite easy to get over the initial breakup. But the hurt, or certainly the longing or the loss, tends to hit me a little later. Now, that might be personal thing to me.
Later would you say?
Well, I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, it might be personal to me that I look on the, so I just go, I'm fucking free. And of course you feel it. You feel the hurt, but there's also this sense of, now I can do whatever I want. And it's actually, for some reason, a few months later. And anecdotally, I've heard a lot of women say, the guys tend to 3 or 4 months later come back and send texts, say, I'm thinking of you. Or whereas the women, you guys can speak with experience, really fucking feel the hurt straight away. Mm-hmm. And perhaps even sometimes are shocked at how men just get on with it. But I don't know if this is a fact. This is just my own experience.
Well, I've always found by the time they come back to you, we've already done the hurt and moved on.
Well, that's what I'm throwing out as perhaps a thing, but I don't know if it's a thing.
Yeah. So we talked about this a little bit, but I think that there is, yes, I think that there's some truth to that, definitely. But I also think that the way that men and women internalize a breakup is completely different, right? Like, yes, the way that, like, and also I think that comes from like a lifetime of how you internalize whatever, taking some L or some failure or some like something, right? Like, I think that men are used to having to suck it up. And yes, there's an element of like,
so you think it's an element of that sort of male upbringing of just fucking deal with it versus women are allowed to have emotions.
It's not just fucking deal with it. It's deal with it and then figure out what you did to avoid this going forward. Women don't get that same, our friends don't talk to us that same way for the most part. I mean, I think for me it's different because I'm in comedy, whatever, my friend, you know, our friends are slightly different maybe than the norm, but you know, women are encouraged to self-soothe and find
like
ways
in the rom-com, have the ice cream with the friends,
have the ice cream, socialize, whatever. And men, I think, are encouraged to kind of work through it, which is the actual correct approach. Ice cream doesn't fix it. Like, getting drunk with your friends doesn't fix it. The truth is, and we mentioned this a little bit, like, you know, off the podcast, but if something happened not to your liking that you were also a participant in, right? A breakup takes both people, whether you were broken up with or whoever's fault it was, you were in it. So it's partly your fault. And honestly, to move forward, it would behoove you to just accept it as your fault. Yes, my breakup was not, I didn't catalyze it necessarily, but if I just go, all right, I hated this. It fucking sucked. It still kind of sucks. Like, what did I do? I can think of 10 things, you know? And that's not to say that he's faultless, but going forward, I can just be better and avoid that exact kind of hurt again.
Yeah.
It's still like a masculine approach.
But do you think in general that women feel it more initially?
Up front? You know, that is so general. And my experience hasn't exactly been that way. And the experience of my female friends hasn't exactly been that way.
I got to talk to like an expert on that.
Yeah, because
studies show that this is what happens in the male brain. And this is what happens in the female brain upon breaking up.
It's weird because I actually can't... it's more vague in my mind what the female experience is because I've had it both ways. But with men, it actually does ring true because that's kind of what happened. You know, my ex started kind of texting me like a few months later. I think initially maybe it was might have been a relief for both of us. But also I was really going through it. Like, it totally was the worst, especially initially. It was the worst. I don't think we're human beings. I don't think anyone's exempt from that pain of a breakup.
Let me give you another anecdote, a little personal anecdote, just to give a bit of context. So my engagement breakup, which was a biggie, we owned a place together.
Ooh.
And which was no big deal. We weren't living together though.
Okay.
So, because as I said, she was somewhere else and I very rarely talk about her and she certainly does not like me talking about her. So I keep it as general as possible. But, there was some practicalities in that when the beginning of the breakup started, which was heavy jelly, by the way, which I'm definitely not getting into.
Okay.
But it wasn't her plan to be breaking up. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So anyway, long story short, it was all very dramatic. And I said to her, listen, I said, if it turns out that we stop talking to each other completely, I just want you to know that you don't have to worry about the apartment for now. I'll look after it all financially for 1 year and we'll deal with it all in the future when everything has calmed down and we're like more sure about ourselves and we're not fucking angry at each other and we'll just deal with it then. So just don't message me about how much you owe me. Just fucking forget about it for 1 year.
Okay.
And she said, you're a sociopath. How the fuck can you be that practical at this time?
That's a guy thing.
And I said to myself, I guarantee you there will be some time in 6 months' time where she'll be like, thank fuck he thought of that. Because it is so great to not have to fucking contact him right now about this fucking mortgage, you know? No, but at the same
you
time.
You paid for it exclusively for a year.
Well, that's irrelevant about the, we won't talk right, about right, the right, ins right, and right. outs.
You don't want to talk about it, okay?
No, but I'm just saying, like, the thing is that it was a thought that I had a practical thought.
Sure.
About how, and that was almost offensive to her. Yeah. But it was very normal to me, and that's where I'm not talking about that to sort of reveal bits about my previous relationship. But what I mean is, I do think sometimes that men go into these weird practical places, and women go into these more emotional places.
Yeah.
And I don't think one is better than the other. But actually, in my personal opinion, I think long term it's probably better to allow yourself to feel the feelings rather than to be practical. But then there's a part of me that thinks actually the practicality is kind of handy.
No, I think I think practicality, and I like I'm a woman. And I know what you're saying, but I still, when I broke up with my ex-boyfriend, I packed up everything. When I woke him up, I said, we're breaking up, but I'm giving you a week to move out just to make it easier because it was originally my place. And I moved down to my parents for a week. So our breakup was very practical in that regards. And he told me that I was a monster. But I was like, I thought I was being so nice. Like I was thinking in the line of thinking you're thinking, but not as extreme.
But it's the same
very,
thing.
It's like without bringing a drama to it, without bringing, I would definitely close off the emotions for, I would, yeah.
You got to just get through. You can't be super emotional all the time. You got to like live and deal with rent and stuff.
But I also had a heavy male influence in my life. Yeah. Like my dad was the one bringing me up. He was the one telling me what to do. So maybe that was just because
I think there's like a biological element to it also, right? Like,
Katie's got big dick energy.
Yeah. Swing
yeah,
it,
baby.
But like women have babies and men don't.
Are babies.
So men need to be raised to adulthood.
Men can't handle after one gym date that you don't fucking text them back.
Couldn't take it. But there's an element of like, you know, back in caveman days or whatever, you couldn't be so sad that you couldn't hunt a buffalo. Do you know what I mean? Like you would die. So, you know, and a woman can't go out on a buffalo hunting rampage because her kids would die. Like
there's loads of problems with going back to the... But I'll rationalize a lot of fucked up shit. Now we want to go back to those times, just for the record.
But I know you're like not allowed to say anymore. There's differences between men and women, but there are
clearly there are differences between men and women.
And it's not that it's hard and fast for everybody, but there are tendencies that exist.
No, we can pretend
people.
That's not the case, but that's fine. These people are in denial.
But it's crazy.
Let them have their moment.
But the people tend towards
winter is coming.
Winter's here. Winter's here.
These people don't know. They think they know, but they don't know.
So it makes sense why a man might his initial response might be more pragmatic, and a woman's response might initially be more like emotional, right?
I should have done more research. I should have actually, if this podcast was properly fucking educational, I would have found out the actual science versus the sort of assumed anecdotes around the male-female response.
But there's not a way to do this study or whatever that's not also just super anecdotal.
I know.
The science going to be on it?
I know. I guess that there might just be more informed voices than mine.
Yeah, but this an educational podcast?
Listen, all the millionaires that I can see are all fucking full of shit.
Yeah, they are.
Making shit up, speaking confidently.
100%. Everyone's full of shit.
All right, let's go.
Yeah.
This has been long.
This is long.
Where are you? Fun. New York Comedy Club?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You'll be there quick.
Well, it's just 30 minutes. Gramercy.
On what?
On Google. I don't know.
But how are you getting there?
Yeah. He's going to get the public transport.
Oh, get an Uber.
Yeah, get an Uber.
I'll get you an Uber, Katie. I'll get you an Uber.
Oh, I'm so fucking like a famous person.
I can't not get you an Uber. I got fucking Shane an Uber yesterday because we gave him the wrong address.
Oh, you know what? You know what Shane said to me at the party after the podcast? Sorry, this was really good advice. We were talking about when you date someone scary, and he was like, the best sex I've ever had are people I'm afraid of.
That is such a man thing to say. If a girl's afraid, she's going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
All right, well. Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me on.
We'll have you on again.
I had the best time. I would love to come back.
You're a voice for hire for sure.
This was the best.
Turn on the mic and let her go.
Yeah, honestly, Irish
Katie people can't talk because she's going at the fucking donuts.
So good.
Irish people are such a fucking trip.
All right, well then, let's go. Katie has a show.
All right.
And we're going to get on with our lives.
Yep.
Thank you. Oh, whoa.
Oh, Jesus. Pluggies.
Do some plugs.
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter, Karen Kardashian, K-E-R-E-N. I never tweet, but if you tweet at me, I'll say hi. And then I'm on Insta. My IG is Karen Margolis, K-E-R-E-N-M-A-R-G-O-L-I-S. And that's
Say it one more time slow.
K-E-R-E-N. like your people, but spelled my way. M-A-R-G-O-L-I-S. Insta's the way to go.
Yes. We're big pushers of Instagram in this podcast.
Are you?
Yes.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
So please message Karen and just let her know that you were listening and make it feel like it was worth her while coming downtown for the podcast. And, well, Katie, let's just sign off now. Save an extra bit of talking at the start of the podcast.
Keep DMing us. Yes. I just ate that donut. It was real good. Keep DMing us or email us at
contacttheshift @gmail.com. At Katie Boyle Comic. Don't forget. At Des Bishop.
The amount of times I had to redo those intros when I was doing them because I kept going contact at the shift. And then I was like, no, that's not us.
Well, you know, I wasn't, you know, I don't want to always just be, you know, correcting you. It's not fair.
Thanks.
It'll sound like a fucking... Send us some feedback. Breakup stories would be great. Did you get any, by the way?
I did.
We completely forgot to include them in the episode.
You guys are the worst.
I did. I can't remember it now.
It doesn't matter. We'll talk about it the next time.
Yes, we will. Thank you so much. Sorry for us screenshot those.
Actually, next week I'm going to Vegas. So I'm actually, I'm going to do an interview with a woman called Kate Chalure, who is like very much in the sort of sex advice world.
Cool.
So Katie's getting a week off. I'm in Vegas doing the Comedy Cellar, so we're gonna get like a proper sex expert, a sexpert.
Hey,
our first actual sexpert, right?
I'm so excited. I'm excited to listen to it.
We've had other people like Shane, who's just like us, just people that pretend they fucking know what they're talking about.
Who's Shane?
Well, I've never pretended.
He was our last week's guest, Shane Smith.
Oh, okay.
He's great. You met him at the face tattoos.
Face tattoos.
Yeah, face tattoos. And if you're into tattoos, he's not into you.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm not into tattoos.
No,
I love you.
No tattoos.
Yeah, I'm a blank canvas. No tattoos on me at all.
Yeah, me neither. There's no tattoos in this entire podcast, right?
Interesting.
No, I've
not. Yeah, nope. And pubic hair, but that might be.
We have pubes.
I don't.
Yeah,
do you
well,
not?
Okay. Nope. That was last week.
I haven't since I was like 17.
What they fall?
I just like can't do it. Nope. I just,
oh, you got them lasered off?
Nope. I'm very like fair.
This is a pube.
This is a pube. So I just.
It's a pube friendly podcast.
Wait, what do you do? With a razor. Here's the thing. It's really easy, and I don't ever get like ingrown hairs or anything. I'm like, I'm not like a hairy person.
Yeah, but you ever get genital warts?
Never. My God.
Turns out that pubes are a protection against genital warts. We learned that last week.
So are condoms. So is not hooking up with anybody.
No, not a guarantee.
So
against
being a frigid
just
bitch.
So you know, it is not 100% protection against genital warts.
Yeah, but being celibate is.
Yes, exactly. Which you have not been all
queen.
Your life, you fucking liar.
I'm the queen of not fucking people.
Anyway, listen, guys. Thank you so much. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. All that stuff.
And
spread
reviews.
The word.
Good reviews.
Reviews. Spread the word. Still trying to get on Spotify. With Acast now, we're still on fucking Spotify, but we'll talk about that another time.
Yeah, hit me up.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.